Welcome to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church, a place of spiritual cultivating, loving care, and creating great commissioning experiences. And now, an anointed word from Pastor Norman E. Curley.
Thank you for joining in to the Word Alive Church. God has laid on our hearts. According to Hebrews 4:12, God's word has the power, when released in active faith, to bring the power of change, to cause people problems, painful experiences, and even the very purposes and plans that God has for our lives to be brought to pass. That is, to align with God's purpose and will for our lives. Hebrews 4:12 reads like this: "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul, spirit, joints, and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." This pandemic came upon us, and I began to pray. And the Lord began to speak to my heart concerning look unto Jesus. And we know the scripture in Hebrews 12:2, where the Bible says that we are to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. But then God began to specifically direct me to teachings pertaining to the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. And then out of that particular prayer time, I began to look in the scriptures, and I began to see how Jesus brought the power of change in the lives of people and circumstances of that day. And I believe that Jesus is bringing the power of change in our lives. In our last lesson, we looked in the life and ministry of Jesus according to Matthew 9:1-8, where these men brought a man that was paralyzed to Jesus. And then when Jesus saw their faith, he began to encourage them. And not only did he encourage them, but he also ministered to the physical and spiritual need of that paralyzed man. I want to continue on this particular theme, the power to bring change. And I want to call your attention to Luke chapter 18. Here Jesus provides a story of a particular woman. The Bible calls her a widow. But I want us to see that there are lessons that Jesus wants us to gain from this particular parable. The Bible starts out with this in verse 1. "Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." Did you get that? Mankind should always pray and not lose heart. The first lesson I want to bring to our attention today is that faithfulness in prayer will determine how we weather the storms of life. You see, Jesus had just concluded a conversation concerning times and events. There was a question raised to Jesus in the context of the text concerning when will the kingdom of God be restored. And Jesus reminded them that the kingdom of God does not come through observation, and no man can determine when the kingdom will come, but the kingdom of God is on the inside of us. And then Jesus goes on and began to give some illustrations using lightning of showing how suddenly the kingdom of God will come. And then he used examples in the Bible of the days of Noah and the days of Lot, that people was going about their normal activity and lifestyle, and all of a sudden Jesus shows up in the clouds. I'm sure that this information created a degree of anxiety in the life of those who were listening to him. And it's out of that context that Jesus encourages them to maintain a lifestyle of prayer. For with a lifestyle of prayer, it will determine whether or not you will give up or you will be able to walk by faith in the midst of the storm. In John 14:12, when Jesus talked about prayer, he said these words: "Truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Isn't it great to know that Jesus want us to focus on the works that Jesus was doing, the kind of works he was doing in ministering to the needs of hurting humanity, the kind of works he was doing in setting the oppressed free and driving out demons and devils and causing people's hearts to be renewed with the revelation of God's power? Well, Jesus connects prayer with being able to carry out the works of Jesus. I like the way in Acts chapter 10, verse 4, the Bible says, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial before God. Cornelius was not even a believer. He had tapped in some of the teachings of Judaism, and he had taken on some of the moral teachings and, you know, began to look unto their God, but he was not fully born again. But God recognized that this man was crying out to him. This man was being faithful in prayer. And not only was he being faithful in prayer, he was being faithful in ministering to the needs of the poor, where his faith actions got the attention of heaven. And God began to set up events in this man's life whereby he was able to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only did he and his household and all of his relatives get born again, but the Bible says that they got filled with the Holy Spirit. Faithfulness in prayer will determine whether or not we can weather the storms of life. Another thing I notice in the text is that now Jesus, after he encourages them to keep your prayer life consistent, be faithful in prayer. Don't just pray when there's a crisis, but let it be a way of life for you. And then you will be able to stand against every storm in life. You won't get discouraged and you won't give up because your lifeline of prayer is being exercised daily and consistently unto God. Now he brings this parable to the forefront, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continuing coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? Not only must we be faithful in our prayer life, but we must also be in fellowship in prayer, because this determines whether or not we will be able to weather the storms of life. You see, this parable is placed in an Eastern setting. The courtroom was not a fine building as we have today, but a tent moved from place to place. The judge covered a circuit, and he not only had the law in his own hand, in other words, he created his own agenda. He decided whatever he wanted to do in any case. While he was sitting in the tent, he would be surrounded by his assistants. Anybody could watch in the proceedings from the outside, but only those who were approved and accepted could come and have their case here. Well, this particular widow in her circumstances, surely she did not qualify to hear her case heard. First of all, she was a woman. And in Palestine society during Jesus' day, women had a very little rights and definitely did not have the right to come before the court system. And secondly, she had no husband to represent her. And thirdly, she was poor and could not pay the bribe, because usually they would pay the assistance of bribe just to get an audience with the judge. But this woman uses what she has, and that is her voice. She begins to cry out. She begins to make a scene, and I'm sure the judge was concerned about his reputation. And over a period of time, this woman began to annoy him, and he couldn't stop her, so he gave her what she wanted. Now, some will say this woman represents the believer, but I submit to you now that Jesus is not trying to show us a type of the believer. For first of all, this woman was a stranger to the judge. We are not a stranger to God. Matter of fact, the Bible says that we are children of God. This woman had no one to mediate in her behalf, but we have a mediator. Matter of fact, 1 John 2:1 tells us that if we sin, we have an advocate. We have someone, Jesus Christ, who goes in and he mediates. He stands in the gap in our behalf. Another thing I notice about this woman is that this woman has no relationship with the judge. How many know we have an intimate relationship? Matter of fact, we are called friends of God. But what God wants us to see is the persistence of this woman, the fact that she refused to give up. And so when we begin to recognize that we have such a relationship with God, God is nothing like this judge. God is not unjust. God is righteous. God is not trying to hold back from us. God opens the kingdom unto us. But what we have to recognize is that in our relationship with God, we need to learn how to enjoy our fellowship with God. And there's a place in prayer where we are not petitioning, where we are not making supplications, where we are not having intercession going on, but we are just enjoying the presence of the fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. During these times, our lives have taken on certain restrictions, and I believe more than anything that this is a great time for us to have quiet time and time to reflect on life and begin to put things in perspective and begin to recognize that so often we feel like we're in charge and we live in a world that is in charge, but we recognize that we are really not in charge. But I like to trust the one who is in charge, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, fellowship is important because even though we can't gather together like perhaps we once gathered together, but there are ways that we can use various social media streams as I'm using now to communicate the message of Christ. And not only that, but we can connect together through social media and we can form prayer groups and we can begin to pray not so much in the same place, but on the same frequency. That is the frequency of heaven. We can tap into that anointing and we can begin to pray and intercede that the will of God be done despite what is happening in our world today. I like the way Matthew 18:20 puts it. It says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them." I'm sure perhaps in your home there are at least two people or three people that perhaps you can gather together and spend time together in prayer. Here at Word Alive, we have a prayer ministry. Our church is a praying church. Matter of fact, before we start even our worship service, we come out and we spend time together praying and enjoying the presence of God and tapping into the heart of God and finding out how the Holy Spirit wants to flow in our worship gathering. We are not religious just to do the same thing Sunday after Sunday, but we believe there's fresh manna from heaven. We believe that God can release a fresh anointing and the Holy Spirit can come in our midst and we can experience the Shekinah glory of God's presence. And we're not just showing up at church, we are the church being the church. In Acts chapter 12, I know Peter was glad that he was in a spirit-filled church and was around some people that knew how to pray, because when he was placed in prison and all of a sudden his life was in the balance, the Bible says in Acts 12:5, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Some of us know the story. Because of that prayer in church, the power of God released, the angels of God hearkened to the word of God, and supernaturally Peter was delivered out of that dungeon. And so we see here in the text that God lets his children know that I'm nothing like this judge. I will hear your prayers. Your prayers day and night, your consistent prayers are not dismissed from heaven, but God hears and he answers the prayers of his people. So not only must we be faithful in prayer and we must enjoy the fellowship of prayer, but I love the way Jesus seals this parable in verse 8, and it reads like this: "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? I believe that if we're going to weather the storms during this pandemic, we're going to have to understand that there's fruitfulness in prayer. And this will determine how we walk this out on our own journeys. You see, when Jesus returns, he's looking for the fruit we have produced for his glory and for his kingdom. In John 15, Jesus connects answered prayer with fruit bearing, that is spiritual growth and victorious living, which both requires faith in God and his power to bring change. You see, in John 15, the key to that particular text is this word, the vine. You see, the vine holds the sap, and Jesus is the vine. And as long as we abide in him and his word abide in us, and we stay connected to that vine, that's the lifeline, that frequency of prayer. As long as we're in connection with Jesus Christ, the sap, the anointing flows through us. And I believe this is where we don't pray selfish prayers or prayers that's concerned only about ourselves, but I believe that is where we hear from heaven and we pray the heart of God. We pray the will of God. The scripture says in verse 4 and 5 of John 15, Jesus said, if you abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I wish our world would grab that today. I wish all of those in authority in our world today, and not only our world, but people of every nation and every tongue would recognize that without God, without the Lord Jesus Christ, we can do nothing. That's why in John 14, Jesus declared that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. There will always be religions in the world, but God didn't come to bring another religion. God came to bring himself to the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I wish and pray that the world will look up and know that their redemption draweth nigh. The psalmist said, we ought to look unto the hill from whence come our help. We know that our help comes from the Lord. The power of change is available to all those who will put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus just don't want to change the outside. Jesus wants to change the inside. Jesus wants to come into the heart of those who perhaps don't know him and let them know there is a way, there is a truth, and there is a life that you can experience. And despite what happens in this present world, despite what happens in this present age, we that are born again, we that are born by the Spirit and the Word of God, we have eternal life on the inside of us. There will be some who will proclaim that God is doing certain things, and let me tell you something. God is not a God that brings evil on the land. God is a God who comes in the midst of the broken world that we're in, the fallen world that we're in, a world where Jesus himself declared that there will be trials and there would be tribulations. But Jesus encouraged us to be of good cheer, for he has overcome it for us. I submit to you today that this gospel, this Jesus, is the lifeline. It's who we all need in order to be able to stand, and after doing all, to stand, hallelujah, and being able to war a good warfare, and being able to look back at what may have happened and see the grace of God and the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, in the text here, we learn that prayer is not a casual thing. Prayer is not a crisis thing, but prayer is a covenant thing. And when you're in covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be faithful in prayer. You and I will enjoy the fellowship of prayer. You and I will understand that we can do nothing without God, and we will be fruitful through our prayer life. And this is what God has called us into his kingdom. I want to encourage you today to go on our website, wordalivesc.com, and listen to the word of God. Listen to some messages that I have out there. And I believe it will continue to encourage your faith, continue to build you up during this time where you're going to grow stronger. You're going to grow closer to God. You're going to tap into that anointing, and you're going to hear the voice of God, and you're going to be led by the Spirit of God, and you're going to be able to respond to those who are running in fear and who have no hope. You're going to be able to bring to them and give an account of the hope that God has placed on the inside of you. You're going to be able to comfort them in the time of their trouble. I believe God is going to use the body of Christ as never before. I believe that people are going to run, and they're going to look for a hope, and they're going to find that the only true hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe there are great days awaiting the church, the body of Christ, those who are redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also, I want to let you know that on our website, our members, you that are listening, there's opportunities so that we can be like Cornelius. We can be faithful not only in our prayers, but we can be faithful in our giving. For the work of God is continuing. A pandemic will not stop the hand of God. It will not shut down the kingdom. It would not cause the word of God to be held inside. I believe the word of God is running rampant over the land. I believe that they that are hearing the word of God is proclaiming it from nation to nation, from tongue to tongue, that God's word is becoming the conversation of the day. It's amazing how God does things. He works in the midst of trouble. He works in the midst of trials, and get this, he raised up a standard of righteousness. And so we are here today declaring that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And also we want to invite you to listen to our teachings on our Word Alive broadcast, Monday through Fridays from 12:30 to 1 p.m. You can tune in on FM 105.1. And we'll have some great teachings there at 8:15 p.m. on 96.1. I'll be teaching and ministering also during that time. So I want to encourage you, the radio broadcast, our website at Word Alive, that's wordalivesc.com. You go out there, you'll be able to tap into some things that God is speaking through our ministry here at Word Alive. Again, the power to bring change. God is up to something amazing. Hallelujah. And I'm so excited about it. I don't know about you, but I see God in the midst of what we're facing. I see the hand of God and the power of God. I don't know about you, but my personal prayer life, I'm telling you what, I have realized in the last couple of days of what it's like to just be still and know that he is God. It's amazing how we don't realize how many distractions are consuming our time. And I know we have responsibilities, and God understands that, but it's something about being still. It's something about being able to get in a quiet place and put on some awesome praise and worship music or whatever style of music, gospel music, that ushers you into the presence of God and creates an atmosphere. Or creates an environment where you just sense the glory of God. And I want to say to the family of Word Alive Church, this is just a temporary time that we have. But I want to encourage all of us. This is a great time for the kingdom of God. This is a great time to let our light so shine before men that they can see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. This is a great time to be a witness of the love and the kindness and the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a great time for the world to look to the church and cry out to us and ask us, How do you maintain your joy? How do you maintain such a spirit of rejoicing? How do you maintain such a strength during times like these? Well, we just do what the Word of God says. The Bible encourages us in Philippians 4:6 that we're not to be anxious about anything, but through prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, we would make our requests known unto God. And when we make that request known unto God, the Bible declares that God will respond, and the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. God is amazing. God is awesome. God is an ever-present help, not just in the time of trouble, but God is at peace forever with us. Hallelujah. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited that now, not only the believers, but I believe the ears of the unbelievers are looking to hear a voice. They are listening for a sound. And I want to declare that I hear a sound, and it is the sound of abundance. It's a sound that God is doing a new thing. It is a sound that God is working behind the scenes, and God is doing a work that no man can stop. And I'm not talking about so much of a work with this pandemic, but God is doing a work on the heart of humanity. God is moving on the altar of people's hearts, and they're realizing, and they're looking at life, and they're beginning to reevaluate their life, and they're beginning to consider, what is it to gain the whole world and lose your soul? Or what can you give in exchange for your soul? Well, I can tell you this, you can give your heart to Jesus. You can ask him to forgive your sins, and you can ask him to come into your life. And I'm telling you right now, God is not a respecter of persons. God doesn't look at what your life may have been or what your life is, but he looks at what your life can be in Christ. You can become a new creation. Old things can be passed away, and all things can be made new. And not only that, you can become an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will give you a ministry. And that is the ministry of reconciliation, that God was in the world, reconciling the world to himself through Jesus Christ. Calvary was not a sad moment, but Calvary was a triumphant moment. Calvary was the moment whereby God began to bring to the forefront the grace and the mercy of his kingdom. That's why the grave could not hold them. Death could not hold them. He rises out of that and declares that all power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. I submit to you today that Jesus rose out of the grave with the keys of the kingdom. And he knew that the keys of the kingdom is needed in order to do the work of God in earth. And therefore he called the church. And he tells the church, the redeemed ones, I'm giving unto you the keys of the kingdom. And whatever you bind on the earth, I'll bind it in heaven. Whatever you loose on the earth, I'll loose in heaven. Saints, it's time for us to exercise faithfulness in prayer, fellowship in prayer, and to be fruitful through our prayer life. I know that anointing of prayer has been stirred up in your heart. Whenever I hear a message, the Bible says faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so I want to encourage you that after you finish listening to this message, find somewhere where you can get in the presence of God, hallelujah, and you can begin to just enjoy praying and fellowshipping and being in his presence.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast ministries of Word Alive Church. Located at 3100 Trotter Road in Southeast Columbia, where Norman E. Curley is the pastor. Come worship with us each Sunday at 10 a.m. worship and 7 p.m. Wednesdays for an engaging, insightful, and anointed Bible teaching. For more information about the ministry or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call 803-695-1277 or visit us on the web at wordalivesc.com. Tune in next time for Word Alive Broadcast Ministries.